I watched an incredible movie called Evictus. If anyone has seen it, it's the story of Nelson Mandela when he gets out of 27 years locked up for absolutely nothing. And I'll tell you, from the moment that things started, I looked at Sharon and I said, isn't that amazing? Just the way this man was able to break free from bitterness, unforgiveness, you name it. I actually, a couple of years ago, I stood outside the cell that he was locked up in. And if you spread your arms, like if your arm span was the width of the cell. His mattress was like wafer thin. And you know what? When you see him, when you listen to him, if you read his book, there's not an ounce, there's not a thought of unforgiveness towards his captors. In fact, he was so nice to his captors, they had to change them every couple of weeks because they realized that this man had done nothing wrong. He held no bitterness and he brought him sweets and stuff. So they changed the guards every couple of weeks. Absolutely so inspirational. When everyone in South Africa, when all of the black people in South Africa wanted to rise up and absolutely decimate the white people, Mandela said, forgiveness. And I tell you, if you want to know freedom, it's locked up in forgiveness. Bitterness has no friends. And like, I was looking at this man, and again, like, although he's being played by Morgan Freeman, I was like, that is power. There's power in that. Let's pray before we preach the word. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for this great people before us, Lord God. I thank you that you're here, Father. I thank you that you've work to do, Lord. I thank you that you've cells to open and people to set free, Father. I thank you that you've calls to put into people's lives. I call, Father, from the onset, Lord, to the deep things that's in each one of us, Father. I call to those things that you've placed in our hearts and minds, in our DNA from before the foundations of this world, Father. And I call them to the fore, Lord God. I reach into the gold, Lord, and the diamonds and the treasures that you've locked up inside of us, Father. And I call them out, Lord, as deep calls to deep, Lord God. I call to those things, Lord. Father, bypass the mind, the flesh, even the soul, Lord God, and speak to our spirit this morning, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Father, we bless you, Lord. Amen. I was looking for me stand there. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Revelations, the book of Revelation, we started a series a couple of weeks ago on the power of God. And Peter continued last week. And I will make an attempt to continue it today. We come from a tremendous line when you become a Christian. Before you become a Christian, you belong to the human race. But when you become a Christian, you belong to a new family. God adopts you into his family. People say, but are we not all God's children? No, we're not. I go to church, does that make me God's child? No, it doesn't. Just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Going to church won't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian? You acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And you accept his forgiveness. And you ask him to come into your life. And he brings his life and infuses it into our lives. So that we can live out his life in us and through us. That we actually have the divine nature dwelling inside of us when we become Christians. There used to be a song out years ago by Carmen, I think it was, John, called Soldiers of the Cross. Was that a song by Carmen? There you go. I have that album stashed away where no one can see it at home. But you know what? We're more than soldiers of the cross. We're heirs to a throne. That we're more than soldiers of the cross. We're heirs to a throne. And as so many of us live at the cross looking for forgiveness all the time, where God wants to move us beyond the cross, that we acknowledge the cross, we celebrate the cross, we receive all that the cross accomplished on our behalf, but he wants to move us beyond it, that we're living as princes, that we're living as rulers and reign. And I pray and I see a time coming in our country, in this church, in our city, in the church, where God is going to propel us That we not just keep on coming. Lord, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. That we know that we're forgiven. And we'll accept the forgiveness of God. And we'd say, yes, Lord, we understand what it is to be a soldier of a cross, of the cross. But I'm an heir to the throne. And I want my inheritance. Because that's what he died for. And you want your inheritance. And we can't pump her up or trump her up. We can't manipulate it. We receive it. We receive it. In Revelations 5 and verse 5. I'll get there in a minute. One of the most powerful animals in the jungle as well. Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the jungle? I was waiting for all those to just go to the kids' club. Who's the king of the jungle? Ooh, ooh. Who's the king of... What's it? Who's... Hang on. And who's the king of me? The lion in the jungle. When the lion roars, every other animal listens. Because he's majestic. When he walks with his head held high, the lion. When he walks, every other animal knows, no matter how big they are, they could outweigh him by tons, but they know that the lion is the main lion, is the main man, is the main lion. In C.S. Lewis' depiction of the sacrifice of Jesus in Aslan and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the lion again depicting Jesus. And in Revelations, there's a situation where John, the Revelator, the Apostle John, is caught up and he's seeing things of heaven that no one's ever seen before. He is seeing things that we are still waiting to see, and he was trying to describe them in the first century. And there's been many attempts to say what they were and what they look like today and what was John trying to what was he seeing, and what of his limited knowledge of the future, he was seeing what was ahead. And he writes this in verse 5. In chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" And John starts to get a bit freaked out. He goes, "But no one in heaven or on earth or under earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it." John says, "I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside it." Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep." What a tremendous statement. Do not weep. There's hope. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals. Then I saw the Lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by 4 living creatures and the elders. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are 7 spirits of God sent out unto all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which is the prayers of the saints. That your prayers are held in bowls in heaven, poured out, brought before the Lamb of God. Where am I? And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." I want us to just be drawn to the verse 5. The lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion speaks of power and majesty. And the lineage that Jesus came from was the lion of Judah. In Hebrews it says, surely he was from the line of Judah. Zechariah in chapter 10, he talks about the power and the might of the one who was to come, speaking of Jesus from the lion of the tribe of Judah. In fact, Jesus was the lion from Zion. He was all powerful, almighty. And every time Jesus, the lion, let a roar, something happens. How did he let a roar? And when did he let a roar? When Jesus seen the sick, the lion roared. There was a woman in chapter 8 of Luke, and she's coming out with her son who had died. A large crowd, it says, met him, and he called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he's only a child." A spirit seizes him, and suddenly he screams, and it throws him into convulsions, and he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and it's destroying him. I begged your disciples to do something about it, but they couldn't. And the lion, which was Jesus, let a roar. And he spoke to the boy, and he spoke to the demon. And he says, leave the boy. It says that the boy was being tormented. The spirit was destroying him. And when the Son of God seen the destroying of man, he roared. He let a roar. Come out of him. Be free. It's amazing when Jesus seen sickness, something in him rose up. When he seen injustice, something in him rose up. There was a woman caught in adultery that was brought to Jesus. They were setting Jesus up because they were always trying to catch Jesus up, catch him out. If you want a good laugh, read through the scriptures where they tried to catch Jesus out and the way he caught them out. You don't catch Jesus out. They would throw something at him, and he'd just throw something from left field, and they didn't know what to answer. I was reading one, and I laughed. They said to him, "By whose authority are you saying these things?" So they asked him a question, and Jesus asked them a question. Whose authority did John baptize with? Sounds easy. But they thought, if they say from God, then Jesus would say to us, the Pharisee says, if we say he's from God, then Jesus would say, why didn't you believe what he was saying? Get out of that one. And if we say he's not from God, because the people believed he was a prophet, they'd stone them to death. You can't catch him. They threw this at Jesus. Jesus just threw two back at them. How'd you catch Jesus out? So they brought a woman who was caught in adultery. Men came and dragged her and threw her before Jesus. The law demanded that she be stoned to death. You notice there was a woman brought. Where was the man that she was supposed to be caught with? And he threw her on the ground. And the lion stood up. Because he's seen an injustice being done to a woman. And he says, let any of you who have never sinned, you cast the first stone. They all left one by one. And the only one that could have condemned her was Jesus. And he says, lady, go and sin no more. What an amazing Savior. But when day came, he was like a lion. But when he was dealing with the woman, he was like the lamb. Those who are proud and arrogant and think they know it all, they hear the roar. I'd love to be able to do a lion's roar. Can't. Tried it all night in the plane. The woman thought she was snoring beside me. I was like, roar. Sounds a bit faint and now, a bit weak, doesn't it? Roar. I sound like the lion out of The Wizard of Oz. But when he was dealing with the lady, he was the Lamb of God. When he was dealing with the devil, with the little boy, he was the Lion of Judah. When he was dealing with the boy and his mother, he was the Lamb of God. And Jesus does. He rose from the dead. Say amen. Amen. Everything's wrapped up in the resurrection. And he meets his disciples. And the disciples had walked with him. We get a chance to read all the roars of the lion about death, sickness, disease, demon possession, demon obsession, demon oppression, oppression. Every time Jesus seen something that reminded him of what happened in the garden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sickness, death, poverty, everything came into the world. As every time he seen it, the lion roared. He seen a fig tree that wasn't bearing fruit one time. And he looks at the fig tree and there's nowhere to remind him of when Adam and Eve sinned. What did they cover themselves with? Fig leaves, you remember? And he roars at the thing. He cursed the thing. He cursed the fig tree. You're never going to bear fruit. It was like a declaration of, I hate what happened in the garden, and I'm here to do something about it. And he looked at the fig tree, and he cursed the thing. You will not bear fruit. You will not bear fruit. Cursed it right to the root, because it reminded him. And Jesus, on the cross, lets out another roar. It is finished. Father, I've paid the price. I've took your wrath. I've paid for every single dastardly, wrong, sinful thing that anyone ever done or will ever do. I took them all of myself. And the Lion of Judah roared. All heaven watching with bated breath. See, the angels didn't understand why the Son of God left heaven. They didn't get it. They didn't comprehend why the Son of God, why he left his glory, why he came to earth, why his own creation nailed him to a cross. They couldn't comprehend it. They were wondering, what in the world is God doing? And then when the man on the cross beside Jesus, he says, I deserve death. But Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? He never done one good thing. He never had to work to get God's favor. He just had to have to accept it. And when Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise, the angels got it. Oh, he came to bring the sons of man back to God. He came, took all that, so that the sons and daughters of man can come back and know God like Adam and Eve knew in the garden. And he dies. He deals with sin. He deals with death. He deals with hell. He dealt with it all. He done it all for us. We never have to experience death like they did in the Old Testament. You will never die. Never, ever, ever. Oh, this will go. This is fading away. But I'm not. Your flesh will die, but you won't. They'll put something in a box, but it won't be you. It'll be your tent. He dies and he rises again, and he meets the disciples. And this is what he says to them. See, when he spoke with authority. When he roared at sickness, sickness bowed down to the authority. When he spoke to demons, demons left because of the authority. See, you can have all the words you want, but if you haven't got authority, no sickness, no demons, no nothing is going to listen to us. Same way if you go out on the road and start directing traffic, thinking you're a policeman, no one will stop for you. Why? Because you haven't got the authority. So Jesus, they seen him. They seen how he acted. They seen how he dealt. They seen how he dispensed the kingdom of God to people. He rises from the dead and he meets them. And it says in Matthew 28, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go now with this authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely as I am with you, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So he met them. He says to them, guys, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I'm going to give it to you. The same roar that I had inside of me when I seen these things, I am now putting this roar inside of you. So just after that, two disciples is walking by a gate called the Gate Beautiful. There's a man begging. He was a beggar from birth. He was the best beggar in Jerusalem. He got promotion in begging. He had a life plan mapped out. I'm going to be the best beggar in Jerusalem. And the two disciples are walking by, and they look, and the roar erupted in them. And he was saying, any odds, mister? And he says, heaven, I haven't got what you want from earth, but I'm going to give you what you need from heaven. And he said, rawr. Rise. And he took the man by the hand, and he rose. And he started walking, and he started, his legs got strengthened, his ankles got strengthened, his knees got strengthened, and he ran around the whole place praising God. And people were looking, saying, what happened to your man? That's the guy that begged. And he says, God healed me. And what God done, he put the roar that was in Jesus right inside of that, inside the disciples, inside of those who believe in him. And that's why when we see injustice, that's why something inside of us erupts. That's why when we see things that are not meant to happen to people, the roar is in us. And the roar and the connected with the authority makes things happen on earth, makes things happen in people's lives. And some people have lost their roar. Some people have let the roar turned into a wimpish type of a meow. And there's no one listening to air meow. There's no one trembling at air meow. Some people don't even know we have a roar. But you know them things that upset you, that you go, I want to do something about that. That's the roar. That's the roar. When the call of God is in you, you go, I want to do something. I want to go there. I want to give to that. That's when we see things about Belarus and A21, the injustice to women getting sold on the market for sex. That's why we give. That's why we give of our lives. That's why we give stockings and underwear and pajamas. And that's why people fly out to Belarus, because the roar inside of us goes, I want to do something about that. Isn't that right? When we look around our city. When we look around our city and we see our young men and women, when we see people killing each other, we see corruption, we see business going down the drain, we see unemployment, and something in us roars. I want to do something. I don't want to just leave this world and not leave my mark. I want to roar. And you've lost your roar. And I want today, I want to call the roar back out of you. I want to, come on. That something inside of you needs to get out. I tell you what, you don't grow big lions in cages. And we need to get out of the cage. We need to be released from the cage. We need to be saying, okay, there's something inside of me that God has put in me. And I'm going to let it out. I'm going to let it shout. I'm going to let people know. You know, the disciples in Acts 16. I've been studying Acts for the last week. And there's amazing roars in Acts. But in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, Paul the great apostle, and Silas, excuse me, they're walking. I read it. It says in chapter 16, verse 16, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting. She was shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul became so troubled. Finally Paul went, I hear. I've enough of this. I'm seeing this young girl being exploited, making men money from telling people through demonic influence about the future. Paul roared. In the name of Jesus Christ, he says, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. He roared. He says, enough of this injustice. Enough of this exploitation. He says, come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. And that roar, with that name, with that authority, every demon obeys. And I left her. And he ended up getting thrown in the prison as a result. For here she was, being exploited. And the roar of God inside says, no, I'm not putting up with this. I can do something about this. And I've said many times from this pulpit about mediums and fortune telling. And I remember I was working in the bookies way, way back. And the cleaning lady offered to read me tea leaves. I was having a coffee. I don't know how she was going to do it. But there you go. She says, can you read that, love, Nescafe? I was a new Christian. I says, no, the Bible says that's not to be done. The Bible says you're opening yourself up to things of the dark place that you don't want. And I've many times said it in this church, don't go near. Don't touch, because there's always a price when you play with the devil's stuff. Always. You give him an inch, he becomes a ruler. He doesn't play fair. But it's only. No, it's not but only. You're messing with a power base you don't want to mess with. And I've always said that, right? And I was reading this just last couple of nights. And I came to this again. I'm like, and I felt God put on my heart. No, don't just tell the people not to do it. But call the people to repentance who has done it. Because that's the door closer. That's the door closer. When you say, God, I'm sorry, I entered into that. I renounce anything that's ever been said about it. Anything that's been said over my life. Because you open a link into your life. And there's people sick as a result of stuff like that. There's people tormented as a result of stuff like that. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not a condemnation trip. Because I remember when I became a Christian, I remember being in church and he says, if you ever read a horoscope, so you're opening yourself up to absolutely innocent looking things. Well, I worked in the bookies for 6 years. I read 7 papers a day. Truth. And I'm like, I'm sure I must have read a horoscope. Repent of it. Repent means you're turning away. Repentance means I'm not having any of that being said into my life. If you notice people and their own minds around this stuff. My sister went to see one when my brother died. And she says, Matthew said, no, Matthew didn't say. And everything in me wanted to know. Curiosity is the enemy's trap. Oh, maybe. But I didn't let my sister tell me. But we have listened. And we have played with fire. And probably all of us could say, yeah, off some stage. Whatever link that has brought into your life, God wants to break it today. And I don't know any other way to do this. I'm not through my sermon, I'm nearly. But if you've ever played with that fire, stand up and we break it. Stand up. Ever gone near them? Amen. Ever, anything to do with it. Ever been anywhere near it. Ever accepted any words that come from someone else out of curiosity. Stand. We're not opening any doors to the enemy anymore. We're closing. And wherever has come down that line, we're breaking it today. And you're going to have to tell God you're sorry. You're going to have to say, God, I repent of that. Father, you can say this with me. You can make this your prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you that you love me. You gave Jesus for me. And I have played with the enemy's fire. I have dabbled in things that I should have not dabbled with. I repent of that, Father. I turn away from it. Father, I renounce any activity that I have been involved in. I turn my back on it. I close the door that it has no say in my life anymore. Father, set me free from any effect that it may have had on me or my family. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray for these people. I release your presence. I release your healing. I release your freedom in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that you'd break sickness right now, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you release from depression, Lord God. Lord, the torment in the mind in the name of Jesus, Father God. Father, addictions that has come as a result of this, I break it off of you in the name of Jesus. I say to you, captive, be free in the name of Jesus. I say to you, sick, be healed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. 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 You can be seated. You take that. And when torment or anything comes near your door, you say, I renounced it in Jesus' name. So they're walking along and they see the girl. And the roar was in them. And he said, come out in Jesus' name. And they get thrown into prison. And they get thrown into the deepest prison. I was wondering why they threw poor Silas and Paul into the deepest prison. They put stocks on them. They had guards around the doors. And when because I was reading through Acts this week, Peter was locked up in prison. And he was strapped to two guards. And an angel came and took him away from the two guards. They were left asleep. He walked through. He got them out of the prison door. They walked to the main gate of the prison. It just opened. Read it. It's the most amazing stories. It, like, they're walking towards the door. And next minute, it just opens. Zoom. I'm like, Matrix? Like, what else? Who used to do that? Zoom. What film? Star Wars. Yeah. Star Wars. Like, zoom. It was like stuff like this. So, and then another time, they put another, I think it was Peter, into prison. And they were going to call Peter in to have a conversation with him. No, not Peter, I think it was James. Called James in to have a conversation. He said, he's not in the prison, he's standing in the courtyard. So now when Paul and Silas got locked up, they says, you're going into the deepest place. You're going into the stocks. You're going to have guards all around you. And you were in there. And it says, they started to do something. That a roar came from inside of them. But this roar was like, it says, they were praising God. They were singing songs, hymns to God, in stocks and chains after being flogged and beaten. They weren't going to be dampened. They weren't going to let their roar just whimper out into something because of a circumstance. They weren't going to say, oh, that's it, I'm not serving God anymore. Look where I'm at. Look what's going on in my life. We were only doing God's work. We got rid of injustice. We got rid of a demon out of this girl. And now look where we are. No, they didn't say that. They said to one another, what song do you want to do? I need you more. No, maybe it wasn't that one. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That could have been it. And this roar came out. And as a result of that roar coming out, heaven's roar responded. And when heaven's roar responded, an earthquake happened. And the prison doors flung open. And all the chains fell off them. And all the chains fell off all the other prisoners. Because someone says, I will not give in. I will not let my cry to heaven be drowned out. I will not be quiet. I know what's come against me. I know where I'm at. I know God is with me. So therefore, I'm going to sing praises to God. And if by any chance you stop singing, you sing again today. You sing back to heaven. Circumstances can knock you about. I don't get me wrong. But today, I'm calling you back to sing. God, I know what's in my life. But I'm praising you. Lord, I want this roar. See, because when heaven responds to the roar that he puts inside of us, all types of things can happen in our lives. The heaven's roar. Heaven's roar can cause families to change. Lives to be turned around. People to get breakthroughs beyond anything they've known. And it's amazing with the disciples. The roar wasn't just for them. The roar was for other people. The roar was like they go and see people that are oppressed and people that are in chains, and they start roaring at them chains. It wasn't just, oh great, look at me, I can sing, I can dance, I can preach, I can pray, I can read my Bible, I can do whatever. It wasn't just about them. The roar was like, roar! Every time they sing something of the enemy, roar! It's like they couldn't stop it. He had to get it out of them. Every place where they went, God wants that for their city. God wants that for your family and my family. That we don't go, oh, that's just him. We don't go, oh, that's just happening in our city because that's just the way it is. No. No, we don't just say, yeah, just let it happen. That we stand. That's what the church is about. The church is about people that have come to know the Lion of the tribe of Judah. They come to know his roar in their lives that has set them free, and they start roaring back, and then they look to the city and they say, city, things are going to change. Community, things are going to change. Family, things are going to change because the Lion of the tribe of Judah lives in me. The same nature, the very nature of God lives in you and me. That's why we get disturbed. That's why ministry starts. That's why people answer other people when they say, no, this Christianity is a load of tripe. That's why that came out of you, Ashlyn, on Facebook. What a tremendous answer you gave, honey. That's why it comes out. It comes out when someone says, oh, the church, and you go, no, you want to see our church? That's why it comes out. When someone comes with incurable brain tumors, it is not incurable. Amen. It is not incurable. Heal that person, Father. Amen. It is not. And when we resign ourselves to the incurable, we're meowing. We're like, meow. That's the best I can do. If we say our families can't change, okay, just give someone else your seat on the bus then. My circumstances can't change. Who do we think we are that we would run out heaven's resources? Get a grip. Get over yourself. Get over your circumstance. Oh, the enemy has him. When we resign ourselves to that, we cease being the church. We cease being the members of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But we have to be the ones to say, no, I know who I believe in. And change is coming. It's on its way. That he who comes will not delay. Do not throw away your confidence. Hebrews 10. Because we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are those who believe and are saved. That's what Hebrews says. We're not those who go, oh no, oh no, oh no, I'm giving in. The enemy is swamping me. See, the enemy's not taking our ground. We're taking his ground. Hallelujah. We're taking his ground. Let's pray. Let's pray. Powerful roars. Powerful roars. Powerful prayers. Powerful women. Powerful men. Absolutely powerful. The divine nature. The very nature of Jesus. You know why your story is going to get better? Because he only brings us from glory to glory. Your testimony doesn't shrink. Your testimony grows. Your adventure with God doesn't, oh, that used to be. When we talk about used to be, there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us when we only have used to be's. It used to be great to be free. You should be setting people free by now, some of you. You should be letting that roar out by now. We're not keeping you in cage. We're not trying to keep you in cage. This is not a church that wants to keep you in a cage and keep you small. We want to release you to be big, to be magnanimous, gigantic, big-hearted, big-spirited. We want to release you that you can say, I can do what they done in the Bible. You're under covering. You're in submission to the leaders of the church. You're released. You're released to tell your story. There's power. And you know what your story is?
Roar!
That's what your story is. That's what your story is. People out there, they haven't got a story about the goodness of God. And your story is when you walk in, oh, who let your woman out? Who started him singing a song? Well, he has a story. That's your roar. That's your roar. When you see someone sick and you go, can I pray with you? And you pray, Father, let your kingdom come. You're roaring. When you sing your songs of praise, you're roaring. You're the nature is coming out in you. When you're in trouble and in stocks and in chains and in bondage and you're still singing and you're being oppressed by the enemy, you go, you can't shut me up. You can't shut me up. You know what? We have to tell the enemy it's too late. He has me. He's captivated my heart. I might not always get it right, but I'm always right with him. And he's always right with me. So, Father, I pray today that you release a new roar. A new roar, Lord God, out of your people, oh God. That, Lord God, we would be like a symphony of roars, Lord God, of stories, of prayers, of testimonies, of proclaiming the goodness of God in our lives, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that you put roars inside of people around sicknesses, Lord, injustice, Lord, oppression, oh God. Father, businesses, Lord God. Father, I pray for the roar to come out of us, Lord, that we even look to our city, Lord, and we call employment into this city, Lord God. We call employment in, Father God. We call people out of poverty, Father God, that our roar would be strong and loud, Lord. That, Lord, our roar would be to the captives. There's freedom. There's freedom in Christ Jesus, oh God. Father, I thank you that we can say to families that there's restoration. We thank you that we can say to kids there's hope. We thank you that we can say that God can turn fathers back to their kids and kids back to their fathers and mothers. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. If you lost your roar, stand up. If your roar has been affected, if you want a greater roar, if you want, Lord, I need your authority. I need to know the authority of heaven. If you know your authority in heaven, you have to know your identity. You have to, the policeman knows his identity. I'm a cop. There's power invested in me, authority invested in me to speak to things. And some of us think that we're not sons, or we're not worthy to be sons or daughters. He has made us worthy. There's nothing you can do to make yourself worthy. Nothing. He done it all. You step into it. Accept it. You go, man, he has put the cloak on you. He has invested the authority in you. He has said, this is my daughter. I have purchased her by my very own blood. Lord, I need an increase. My roar has turned to a whimper, I keep meaning to say. And I want my roar back, Lord. And Lord, and I say, release it. Release it, Lord. Lord, let it come out from the innermost being, O God. Father, the cry of heaven, O God. The roar of heaven, Lord God. That, Lord God, it would be released in my brothers and sisters, O God. It would be released, Father God, from the depths of who they are in you, Lord God. That, Father, they would know, Lord, that they were meant to do something in this world, oh God. And, Father, stir up, Lord God, the very things that caused the roar to be there in the first place, oh God. Stir it up, Lord. That's why I said at the beginning, I call to those deep things in you. And I say, come to the fore in Jesus' name. Come up, rise up in Jesus' name. Father, we speak your blessing over our brothers and sisters, oh God. God has put something in your heart to do, meaning he's given you a roar. He's given you something that when you see it, something in you reacts. God inside of you reacts. Stand up. It can be a call to ministry. It can be a call to be part of a team of ministry. It can be a song. It can be a book. It can be a story. It can be a painting. It can be an adventure. It can be starting a new business. It can be starting a new missions group. Something inside of you. You just know God has put it in there. God has put it in. I've known promises of God in my life that I've thrown away. But they keep coming back. Because they're in there. I didn't make them up. Because it would have been well gone. But they're in there. And they're in you. And I release them in the name of Jesus. I release them in the name of Jesus. Jesus said this. That the things I do, you will do greater. I release the greater in you. In the name of Jesus. I release it in you. Be excited about it. Let the excitement of heaven, Lord God, grip the hearts of your people, Lord. Father, invest, Lord God. Father, I release, Father God. Father, authority, Lord. And power, Lord God. That these are powerful men and women, O God. Absolutely powerful men and women, O God. Release them onto the ground, O God, where they call the shots, Lord. Where they call the shots, Lord God. That, Lord, it's not anything else dictating to them. They call the shots, O God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Can you put your hand on the person beside you? And Father, as the body, we pray for one another. And we say, Father, release the roar. Release the roar, Lord God. Release it, Lord God. Release it, Lord God. You know, some of the things is you've been in a cage. And you're going to have to get out of that cage. You're going to have to say, this cage is not holding me anymore. I am not being put in a box. I will not settle for the box. I will not keep God in the box. I will not keep him small. That I will allow him to be all that he is inside of me. Some need to let us shout. Some need to let us shout of praise. Some need to say, Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I am yours. That the things that held you back, I cut them off of you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless your name, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. We bless you, Lord. Come on, Lord. Lord, there's more. There's more to happen, Lord, in hearts. You're going to have to shake yourself loose. If you feel tight, you just have to shake yourself loose. Just take off the restrictions off of you. Take the restrictions off of you. Just, I'm taking these off. I don't have to be nice. This is not just a nice church. It's not just a nice church. We want heaven in this place. We want God's rule. We want God's reign in our lives because we want to rule and reign in this city and in this nation. Now, he has made us a people of kings and priests, it said in Revelations. Those who he purchased with his blood, he made us priests so that we can enter into his presence, and he's made us kings so that we can rule. So that we can rule, that we don't have to be on the bottom, we can be on the top. We don't have to be the tail, we can be the heads. We don't have to say, oh, this is my law. This is my law. Speak against that which is your law. That God has more for you. God has more. God has more. Father, more in the worship team. I got up here a couple of weeks ago, guys, and I prayed over all your positions that is up there. The only people I didn't pray for, and excuse me, and I'm sorry, was the choir. But there's more to come for you. I prayed over your instruments that was there. I prayed over your names that was there. And I just, Lord, well, I was just standing up here on my own, just releasing what's to come out of, what's releasing the roar that's to come out of the worship. The roar that's to come out of the worship. The power of God, the anointing of God that can be and will be released through you guys. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we commit ourselves to being a church of worshipers, oh God. Now, Father God, and we say, Lord, Father, the greater things from the worship team, Lord. Father, the greater things to come, oh God. Father, from the intercessory team, oh God, there's greater things to come, Lord God. Peter, there's a roar that you've cried out for, Peter, and God is placing it in you. And sometimes it's frustrating inside of you, but there's a dam going to be released, that there's going to be a freedom, there's going to be something that's going to be shaken off you, because big lions don't grow in cages. And not any cage, Lord, that is on any of our intercessors, Lord, I take them off in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, and I release heaven's equipment, Lord God, afresh into their lives this night, the prophetic, oh God, the release, Lord God, of prophetic words that brings angels from heaven to earth, Father God, to do the bidding of God, Lord. I pray for your people, oh God. I pray, Father God, every cage. Every cage that has kept you in. Do you know what? I can open the door and let you out. But I have a picture. I don't know. I've never seen a cage like this. But there's nothing on the bottom. There's just bars around the sides and on the top. And when I prayed that prayer, I didn't see a door opening. But I seen me putting my hand in and lifting the cage up. Totally off of you. 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 The cage totally off of you. You can fly. You can run. You can walk. You can sing. You can dance. You can move in the things of God, because the cage is off of you. You have to take the step. When the angel took Peter out of the cell, you know what it says? Peter walked with him. Now the cage is off of you. Walk. The power of God that we want to display and see display. Now you're caught up in things. You can walk out of that cell, out of that cage right now. Because the power of God is in you. The divine nature. But you're caught up. You're caught up. That's all I'm going to say. You're caught up. And the cage is off of you. Step out of it. Step out of it. Father, power never to go back. Power never to go back. Power never to go back. Father, release revelation, Lord, that says, I trust in Jesus, that he's able to keep me more than even my flesh can drag me back. That I place my trust in him who can keep me even more than the devil can deceive me. I trust in him, and I'm stepping out of it. Make a decision. I'm stepping out of it. Come on, thank God. Did someone thank him? Someone thank him. Someone thank him. Someone say a prayer of thanks. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Father, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. I need you more, Lord.